everybody. Welcome back to Android App Addicts, the show where we talk about Android apps, Android phones, Windows, Cortana, and governing, among other things. It's a wide range of topics that we cover. I am your host, Mark, also known as sometimes called the Sultan of the Soapbox, and joining me, as always, actually, they're the ones who are always here. I'm the new guy. Are your friends and mine, the door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin, and Eric, the executive, Ardini. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. I gotta tell you guys something. You know, so Adore knows this because we recorded the mini PC show last night, and I told him that I had to go in for a stress test today.
Like this, the treadmill
this,
thing?
Nice. Yeah, but this nice young Mexican lady shaved off my Burt Reynolds. I could be a swimmer now.
Mark, thank you so much for not asking for proof.
No, I was actually going to ask for a definition, but then decided that would probably not be good.
I have to assume it's just the chest hair.
Yeah, I wouldn't even think of Burt Reynolds if it hadn't been for our former co-host, Sean Johnson, who used to send us half-naked pictures of Burt Reynolds on a regular basis. And
I'm pretty sure he was all the way naked, but, you know.
Well, I guess from his personal collection?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now, if he would have said Brazilian Burt Reynolds, then I really would have been worried.
That's what I got going on now.
And I gotta say, Mark, I was speaking to my aunt over the holiday season, and I think if my aunt would describe this show, she would say it's a little girthy. It's a little girthy. You know, there's a whole lot there. It's girthy.
Well, you know, every man wants to be referred to as girthy, so I'll take that.
Testify.
How are you guys doing? Anything new, exciting in the world of Android or anything else?
I'm not gonna say exciting, except for Remix x86 now Google playable. Pine 64 board on Kickstarter is showing off Android and N64 emulators, which looks really good. There's a new phone coming out here very shortly, the Honor X5, I believe it is. Very, very, very fairly priced, I'll say non-spectacular phone. I keep thinking this is the year where we're going to start to see some really good quality phones for a very fair price.
Well, fair price is fair to who, right? We're cheap, but it's certainly not fair to the people who make them. I don't want to get all, you know, Hollywood on you, but
well, you can get Hollywood, and I'll just tell you, I'm sorry, go to Mars. But in this verse we live in, the have-nots make goods for the haves. It's been that way for a couple hundred years, probably. And me, being one little person, can only do my little part to consume these devices in a reasonable fashion without going crazy. That's my goal.
Yeah, one of the things that I've often talked about before, and you can hear more about this on my show Geek Rant, is if you look at the pendulum of history, the people who are dominating and the people who are dominated, it just sort of chases itself around the globe. Right now, it's America's turn to be, you know, the buyers, and the Chinese to be the buyees, but it's just a matter of time before that pendulum swings. So if you're feeling high and righteous and white guilt, just wait, you know, a century or so, and we'll be making all their stuff at slave labor rates.
Right, and hopefully be enjoying it because you're better, because you ain't got a choice.
All right. Well, that took a dark turn. So let's lighten it up with some apps. Eric, I've let you have the last 2 weeks. So, Dora, I got to start with you.
Okay. Well, again, really enjoying my American quote unquote lifestyle. I'm testing out other shipping applications to monitor shipments and give me notifications and stuff. They all seem to do basically the exact same thing. So I'm just looking for things to set apps apart, and I found this one called AfterShip, all one word, AfterShip Package Tracker. I don't know what to call this look, but it's very simplistic, very easy to read. Seems to me like a very plain Jane. Automatically fills the shipper. If you copy your clipboard, a packaging number, open the app, it'll basically prompt you and say, do you want to track this package? Automatically fills in the carrier and automatically gives you notifications. I believe there is a way you can actually set up carrier contact information you can get from certain carriers. So if you need to call them up and say, oh, I'm not going to be home today, I'll stop by your place of business and pick it up. Some of those options exist as well. But it seems like everything I've ordered for like the last year has just been dropped on my doorstep without any signing, even if it says signature.
They don't even ring the doorbell half the time.
Right.
Yes, but I did see a very good internet meme picture. It was a UPS guy standing in front of a truck with his arms crossed, and you saw tattoos all over his arms, and it said, if you were the kid that really enjoyed knocking on someone's door and running, we're hiring.
And, yeah, I saw and that too.
I just thought that was really, really smart. I'll put it that way.
You know, Google Now used to do a lot of this, what this AfterShip does for me. Because I would get the, say, Amazon notifications in my email. Google Now reads my email, and it would say, you know, here's your package. It'd tell me that. And it just stopped. It just started one day, and then it just stopped one day. And that, one of the frustrating things about Google Now is you have so little control over it. But that was a nice feature that just one day didn't work anymore.
I still get it. But what I don't like about it is, like, for instance, the beloved Amazon Review Trader, okay? I finally ordered something from that place.
Yeah, we're done with that, Dor. Welcome to the ship, though.
Okay. Well, it was a public-facing $30. I got it for like $12. Amazon Kindle 7-inch tablet case. And it was semi-ruggedized with a big handle on the top to carry it around. Okay. I bought the thing now nearly 2 weeks ago. It was before the last show. The shipping date, it says in Google, and when I open up Amazon, it's February 28th, well over a month away. So that's not very good, because I believe if I read the Amazon Review Trader right thing, I'm supposed to write my review in 10 days from order.
Well, 10 days from receiving.
No, 10 days from receiving. Right. Yeah, you got to watch out on the Amazon Review Trader, because they have, if they don't say FBA, which is fulfilled by Amazon, sometimes it can take a while.
Oh, I thought that was a, like a, acronym for
I actually got something a while back that ordered it because Amazon Prime rocks. I got it the next day. I used it. I went to review it, and AMZ said, "Well, wait a minute. You don't need to review this just yet. You shouldn't review it until you already got it. And you just ordered it yesterday." It's like, well, yeah, and I already got it. Congratulations. So I had to wait. Made me laugh.
I think I might have gotten banned from them because I haven't got any review requests recently accepted. I've got a D rating, by the way. They now rate you by A, B, C, and D, like a little scoring thing, like third grade. I got a D, even though I've reviewed like over 100 some products for them.
I've got a B plus.
Well, that makes me feel bad. Well, I read one of your reviews, Mark. I know I can see why you have a B plus. Not only did you write a huge, long, very well written review, you also totally destroyed the product that you ordered in order to test it fully. So it was not useful to you at all after you were done with it. You should give at least a B+.
Every time I buy a speaker, I hook it up to a tone generator because I have one. And I can tell you that, well, at 100 hertz, it kind of falls apart. Because if I'm going to review something, by golly, I'm going to review it.
Nice.
All right. I didn't mean to totally derail the conversation. So AfterShip package tracker. Eric, what's your first one of the night?
This first one, Mark, you're going to hate this one. Maybe you're not. I shouldn't prejudge you, but I think
I can feel the power of the dark side coursing through me now.
This is an app called UCIC, which is the letters U, letter C, letter I, letter C, / UCIC, which is YOUSEEISEE.
Oh, goodness. Oh, yeah, that's great SEO. Fan-diddly-tastic.
So, yeah, any way you put UCIC in there,
you're that's a new app at CES.
ICY. So this is basically, it's a kind of a picture taking social media app where people just throw things out there. That's like, hey, show me what you're eating right now, or show me what you're eating for supper tonight. And then you take a picture and people thumbs up them or thumbs down them and like, hey, what's it look like outside right now? Just things like that.
So you're telling me this is a troller's
paradise. Twitter. It's early days of Twitter. You know, Way back when you went to the Twitter website, the prompt was, what are you doing right now? And so all of the Twitter stuff would be like eating a sandwich, going to the movies. So this is just if Instagram and Twitter had an illegitimate child that nobody wanted.
Well, is this the opposite, though? Because it says, for instance, show me the sunset there and show me Lake Superior.
Right, so people were requesting.
So are people Yeah, people. So, yes. Yeah, it's the troll.
So all of them say, show me your boobs, right? 100% of them. Oh,
well, that's a given. Well, I'm sure they haven't
got that request yet.
I'm sure they have a filter on B-O-O-B.
Boobs.
I make sure everything I take a picture of is humorous.
This is like,
and I do get some random comments back.
I have to derail things just a little bit, but I had a brilliant idea about a year ago to open a website because you know people are sending boob pics already. Why not corner that market? So the idea was going to be mammogram instead of Instagram. Mammogram.
Ooh, man, that's genius.
Show me your mammaries. And that would be the, so it's all boobs all the time. See, it's a multi-$100 idea at least.
You're just the wrong person to have that idea.
I can never associate that with my brand.
And to make that implement, yeah, you cannot implement this product that you've nurtured there in your mind.
I don't know. I mean, I would say this. Partially, I'm disgusted at their name. What kind of hipster non-SEO avoidance?
No, I think that's perfect SEO because you can't misspell it.
Yes, you can.
And number two.
You can spell ICY, which isn't in there.
And number two, it looks like they took the Goodwill logo and made it into some utopian, it's half black and half white. We're not racist.
It's the yin-yang symbol.
It's the yin-yang symbol.
Yeah, with a bad smiley face. I don't want a happy. I don't want a happy social media. I want a mean social media.
Well, okay, go to Facebook. That's perfect social media for you. Then.
No. There's only so much Trump Palin I can stand, sir.
Yeah, that's it. Well, that statement right there was all of it. That's all I could stand.
Yeah. Well, I hope you guys are both in for it because, or just go find a rock to crawl under because you're about ready to get a bunch of it for the next
from
2 weird.
Months. I don't watch TV. I don't listen to radio.
I think it's hard to get away from. Oh, her voice. I thought I was done with that.
I was almost vice president.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to rein this in.
I digress. Thank you.
So that's two apps. Now it's time for an email. And I'm going to go with some that are a little bit on the older side. Our good friend Soham Bapat. I don't know if that's how he says his name, but that's how I say his name. Says, hey guys, just found an app and a game that I thought you'll enjoy. Beggar's Ride, $3.99, is a great adventure game that really reminded me of Leo's Fortune. If you enjoyed that, you'll certainly enjoy this. I think it's a great app for kids, particularly since it's PG-13. I'm guessing that's what it says. Peggy 3? Anyway, I honestly don't know what Peggy 3 is. PEGI 3. I read that as PG-13 and immediately thought, no, that's not right.
I'm going to take a guess. He's in the UK, and it is some kind of UK rating system. But in Google, it's marked E for everyone.
Anyway, just a warning, though. The game does suck up battery a lot, even faster than how fast installs go down after Cheetah Mobile acquires an app. The second app is something, something is called NetGuard, and it promises no root ad blocking. What? The way it does it is by creating a fake VPN, but since the app doesn't have internet permission, it won't do anything with your data or suck up too much battery. The only downside is that you can either have internet connection for the app or off. There are no options for just ads. Still, it means you can continue playing the game that can run offline without any adverts, yet you get notifications from your other apps. You wanted also wanted to say, keep up the great work. You guys make a fantastic podcast with some great apps. GMD Immersive Mode was one of my favorite apps that was recommended on this show.
Huh.
And even
I'll say first, the Beggar's Ride game to me is one of those crazy graphic games. Not a old school pixel either. Just good looking graphics, and it looks like good animation. But there's no video in the Google Play Store, which means what, Eric?
It's a great game.
It's a great game.
No video, definitely.
And it's $3.99. I've been doing really good with my Google Play Opinion Rewards monies, so yeah, I will be checking this one out.
They've loosened their pockets a little bit on the Opinion Rewards recently.
Yeah, today I got like a 35-cent one, which shocked me. This other app, NetGuard, no firewall root. If he didn't explain it to me the way he did, I don't think I would have really got how they could have even done it. The bad thing is if an app insist on having internet access before it plays, which some games do, then the game just won't play. So, you know.
So what I'm wondering about is how you configure the VPN to only be effective on certain apps. I mean, how does that work?
It looks like Looks like there's symbols next to things, right. Like Download Manager, Google Play Services, Play Store, and there's a the switches on and off there.
So anything the app must do it somehow. Guess.
Well, it looks like it's got a list of apps like Opera Beta, Hangouts. It's all in the screenshot, and you set permissions per
block Wi-Fi app. By default, block mobile by default. It's a neat idea, and in fact, I've done stuff like that using other tools before. In fact, I will probably download this just for that because there are some things like, you know, Angry Birds. I have no interest in their ads, and there's no particular downloadable content that I would need. So that was one that I ran firewalled. So this is installed.
Thank you, Soham.
Yeah, Soham from AndroidEnthusiast.tk. If you would like to browse blog-style entries of news and events and reviews and stuff, check that out. And you don't have to worry about being, A, overtaken with ads, or you also do not have to be taken over because somebody paid him to mention something. He's just a guy wanting to make a website.
Call, what's the phone number? 706 Podnuts. Leave a voicemail pronouncing your name so that I will know it exactly the way it should be.
707-6-5-9-bang. Soham, right? Soham.
I'm going to go with Soham.
Oh, man, you're probably right.
You might be right.
I'm never right with names.
I'm generally pretty good at that, but, you know, that just...
I'm generally laughable.
Yeah, Dora's generally not right with
that. All right, we've got another email coming from later on, but that's just a big market tease. First, we got to hear from the next app from the Door-to-Door Geek.
Okay, let me take a quick glance. I know I had one ready to roll. Oh, yeah, yeah. This one was one that came from Tom Zach. I put it on my Jide Remix Ultra tablet because it really, as soon as I saw this app, I thought this needs to be on a bigger interface. It's called Filmora Go, free video editor. That's FILMORAGO. Filmora Go.
Filmora Go.
Thank you, Eric. God bless you for being around. It definitely did everything it said it would do. It was definitely just a touch slow, and when loading more than like a 30-second or like a 1-minute video, it took a second to load. But all the effects worked exactly as advertised, and when you were done, the post-processing wasn't ridiculously long. It took a couple of seconds, like a minute to maybe do like a minute and a half video. And it just worked. I gotta say, it did what it was advertising. I didn't try any of the motion graphics because, to be quite honest, I didn't realize they were there. Looking at the video now, I see there's more options than I played with it. A very fair application is what I'm going to say. Just works.
I'm glad to hear that because I installed this app on my Note 4, and I made a sample video. I combined two videos, I think. And it took a long time, a very long time. And in the end, it was unplayable. It said it finished, but it just says this video cannot be played. So your results may vary. But I'm glad to hear that it did work for you, Dor. Good.
Yeah. And to be honest,
I might try it on my tablet then instead.
And to be honest, this is how I'm turning weird to even myself. I stopped and I thought after loading this app on the Jide Remix, I don't even know what the processor is in this tablet. I really don't. And then I stopped and thought, I'm not even sure I know how much RAM it has. And there was a day not that long ago, I would know the bus speed. I would know like every little dinkly thing about it before I bought it. And with this tablet, I really don't know. I know it's a Surface clone in hardware form and design. I know it runs customized Android.
Surface clone is probably all you really needed to know to buy it, right?
Well, yeah, but I also know it doesn't have an i5 or an i7 in it, but it seems to work pretty good. To me, this is good for one-off things. Or if you're a really dedicated filmographer, director kind of thing, I could see doing small parts on this kind of device before putting it into your big production. But I really can't see, I'm going to use the word serious work on a video editor on a tablet. I do feel safe in saying that. I don't know if it's still possible, but it worked for me.
You know, one of the things about being old is you always remember how things used to be. And I remember the first video editing I ever did was with the real video editor before it became, well, there was the real player, right? But there was the professional editor. and it cost like $73 million. And I couldn't find a computer powerful enough to run it on. And finally I had to step up to, like a Pentium, like 75 megahertz or something. I had to really, really upgrade, you know, nice. And that was video editing. And the images you would get off of this, off of the computer in your pocket are probably 100 times better. And probably faster than, cause I remember rendering that the thing, it would be like minutes per frame, rendering the video. So it's just amazing where we've come in, you know, less than 20 years.
Yeah, I used to have a small side business doing video editing on a Pentium 2 and making DVDs off of that. And it was just days of rendering. Just, oh, hopefully the power don't go out this week because it's doing something.
And it probably took days to download it over your 28.8 baud modem, too.
Oh, there was no internet involved with this.
Right. And if I could speak with a lisp, I would. But I would just say, imagine, Mark, how it's going to be in 20 years from now.
Yeah, I can't imagine. That's the coolest thing about it.
I can't either. That's, you know, that's awesome. Ever since there was a touchscreen phone, it's just been
All
smiles. I've used this analogy many times before. You look at the 50s where they're projecting what it's going to be like in the year 2000, right? We had aluminum clothes and flying cars, but all the phones had cords on them. So the future never looks anything like what you think it's going to look like.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the car that has the built-in shopping cart. You just pull out the back end of your car, walk into the Walmart or Kohl's, fill it up, take it back out, and just shove it right in the back of your trunk and drive away.
What's that? I don't know, but I want that. I would love if I was rich. I would love to just sit in a room with
a rich man.
Right. With like 10 or 20 of the people that swear they can tell me what it's going to be like, and just listen to each one of those people tell me, and then in 20 years, go back to the one and say, you were the closest, and you were completely wrong. Because it's too difficult, way too difficult.
Yep. No flying cars yet, but we do have cordless phones.
Right. And yeah, that was one of the things, when the wife asked what I would do if we won the 1.3, first thing, a hyperlight. I won't say it's called a hyperlight. All it is a little chair, a fan behind you, hang glider-like wings.
Ultralight.
Ultralight. I'm off. Get the hell away from me. Where are you going? I don't know. Just get away from me. I'm flying.
Dorn, I really think you could probably attain that without having to win $1.3 billion.
No, but I would need to have the kind of medical coverage to bring me back from death when I crash that thing.
Yeah, all you need is a kite and a lawnmower.
Yeah.
You're good.
Yeah, you know, around here they typically fly those over the rivers and canals. So when they do crash, all they got to do is they just swim. Soft landings. It's like jumping off of a bridge.
Right.
Okay, Eric. What's your next app?
Well, it's my turn already.
It is.
I'm gonna bring a Google Cardboard /VR app this time because I've been playing with these, and I was gonna do one episode of just nothing but these, but this one. Is probably one of the better ones. I've found a lot of crap apps in the VR area right now. It's like ever since CES came out, there's just tons of VR apps, and most of them are not fun or good. This one, I would say, is nice if you're not expecting too much, because this is just a ride along. There's not a whole lot of interfacing you're going to do with it, but it's a fun little VR app. It's called VR Cosmic Roller Coaster. And anybody who had a Cardboard, probably the first app you are going to install is a roller coaster app of some sort. If you haven't, definitely do that. And then once you do that, then install the Cosmic Roller Coaster, because this is kind of the same thing, but out in outer space. You're not on rails as, say, like a roller coaster. You're more in some sort of a space tube. I'm thinking maybe like a hyperlight you're probably flying through. But my definition of a hyperlight is way different than what Doris thinks one is.
Well, but I could swore you. Okay, when I hear the word on rails, what that tells me is you're on a thing, visible or invisible, that you cannot. You have no actual direction, movement control, but you can look around.
That's what you are here. It's still a roller coaster where you are on rails, I guess. But physically, you don't see those rails like you would in a VR roller coaster app. And it just takes you through the planets, and as it's got, if you put your headphones in, it's nice because as you whiz by the planet, it kind of accentuates the bass in your headphones, like whoom, you know, that's neat. They put a little thing, a little thought into it. It's a fun little app.
Yep, my this was another one that my son just absolutely loved. And just giggled the whole time because he was looking around, just saying "Whoa, whoa, whoa!" Just because he thought it was like beautiful, as he put it, and cool.
All right, I have no comment on that. So that was two apps. Now it's time for another email. Just to mix things up, let's have one from Soham Bapat. He says, another game, just discovered Brick Breaker Arcade. Oh, I like that one. A fantastic retro game. Looking at the comments, the only disappointing thing is the amount of ads. Although, if you were to use a previous app recommendation, that shouldn't be a problem. I have played that one before. And yes, ads are an issue.
Don't accidentally posted that last app incorrectly. Brick Breaker.
I put the link in the chat.
Yeah, Brick Breaker by Bozy Games. I'm sticking with Bozy, I guess.
Like nail.
Yeah, this is old school. This is really like the classic. How would you? I can't even remember how that was.
Breakout.
I was gonna say Arkanoid. Arachnoid.
Yeah, Arkanoid was Breakout on steroids.
Yeah. Oh yeah, this is classic here.
This is the graphics on this. The frame rate on that ball is about.
Ooh.
Yeah, nothing.
So here's the dumb question. You have to memorize what the colored power-ups do.
Yes, because some are positive and some are negative.
Yeah, right, because I remember back in the day, the old Breakout games that had these kind of power-ups that had like letters on them, which would help you. It didn't tell you, but at least helped you to know what this stuff was. Oh, man. Okay. I have to play it because I don't remember if I did or not, so I'll...
I forget the one, which one it was, but I think Eric brought it a while back. Mm-hmm. Was my favorite of these games, but the problem was once I'd played through it, it was out of levels and I couldn't buy any more. I can't even remember which one it was, but it was more like Arkanoid than the classic Breakout.
Well, I'll tell you the one thing I like about this game is the fact that it's not in landscape mode; it's in portrait. So the ball has a long way to travel up and down, thus. The width you have to travel with your bumper isn't as wide either. So I honestly kind of like that.
And the good ones will track your finger, so it's as fast as you can move your finger. I don't like the ones where you have a jet ball. That's the one that I was thinking of. Yeah, jet ball. I don't like the ones where you like press the screen and it slides for you, right? But some of the things, like I remember in jet ball, was one of the things would make you overheat and it'd slow you down. And it's really frustrating because you'd move your thumb and then it would toddle on over to the other side.
Gotcha. I can't remember now that I'm saying this out loud. Arachnoid in the arcade, I believe, had a trackball.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because I remember that was the first game I ever did the trackball with where the ball literally would pinch my hand once in a while to where I literally had to like stop playing it because it made me so mad.
Centipede, Missile Command, both of those had that too.
Yeah.
Dark time when one of the number one games in the world was about stopping a nuclear invasion. Yeah, it's a dark.
No. Hopelessly stopping. Because you couldn't. You would always eventually lose.
You know. BlackBerry really missed this whole opportunity they could have had with gaming and/or. They gave up too soon. They had a perfect trackball right in the center of that device, never marketed it to the right guy.
And I played some ball breaker things, breakout things on with that trackball. I did that on the old BlackBerry 8800, I think it was.
See, the only trackball I was successful at when I was in track and field, I actually preferred the three button track and field more than the trackball track and field.
Yes,
that is dating
track
me.
Track and field with us.
Track and field with a spoon. A track field with the three buttons was better because you can bring a spoon from the house.
Yes.
And go across the buttons and kick butt. Where the trackball, you actually had to get a little, good at it.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't joystick back and forth. It was button back and forth.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was three buttons in a triangle, run, and action, jump, or whatever. So you could go back and forth with the spoon as fast as you could and then hit with the other hand the button, and you could really get going long jump. Ooh, man, world record, baby.
Yeah, it worked with a pencil, too.
Yeah.
All right, Eric, what's your next one?
I didn't hack back then, I guess. My next one is, okay, this is going to be super timely, so if you're listening live, you definitely got the advantage here, unless, okay, I'll get into that later. Anyway, this is offered by EA Electronic Arts for 11 cents today, as we record right now. It's Need for Speed Most Wanted. This app is not the newest one. It's been out for a little while, and that's probably why it's 11 cents. But compared to the other Need for Speed games, it's a lot cheaper because the other ones are like $5. And this one probably was too at some point. I have a big problem with this game though. So I bought it for 11 cents and installed it on my tablet. And I was so ready to tear it up with my gamepad. And it only works with a MOGA stick, a MOGA pad. It's the only thing it works with.
Yep. I was upset too. Because I bought it for like $1, maybe $1.10. And I thought this is going to be really good. And then I'm sitting there with the gamepad trying to figure out why it isn't working. And after like 20 minutes literally playing with it, I finally figured it out. I read the description. What? Why would you only work with one gamepad?
Yeah. So I'm stuck with rotating my device, you know, to steer. And that's my only option now.
Hey, people pay big money to do that with a Wii.
Yeah. So this is... the graphics are worth 11 cents. I'll say that. It looks nice. It's a good looking game, but
well, special buy. If you buy it right now, it's only 10 cents.
Whoa. Okay. 10 cents.
Discount.
We'll have to check it again before at the end of the show and see what happens. It might be 9 cents.
I don't know. I was very upset at this game.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Well, a lot of other game manufacturers I would be okay with, but when I hear a name that I've heard for a decade, I would think in all of their racing games, they would have the ability to do some level of customization.
Yeah.
No.
Hey, I've got one more if we want to empty the tank, unless we're going to do another round.
Well, I'm sure Dior could do 3 or 4 more rounds, but go ahead.
Okay, this one I just want to bring because I just found it today and I haven't got to use it, but I wanted to tell people about it because it seems so cool. That probably means it isn't, but this one is called, well, okay, never mind. That introduction was horrible. Okay, this is an alarm clock by Microsoft called Mimicker Alarm. Microsoft and their naming. And their naming is just crazy. So Mimicker Alarm, I'm going to use it tomorrow, but I just wanted, I was kind of excited about this. So basically, to wake up, to stop your alarm, you have to play one of three games. One of the games is called Express Yourself, and you have to take a selfie that best matches your emotion to the game that the game chooses. That's one way. The next game is called Color Capture. It tells you a color, and in order to win that game, you have to snap a photo of an object that matches the color it's asking for. Or the last one is Tongue Twister. You have to repeat a phrase that requires some brain power to enunciate in order to turn it off.
So the idea is just to make sure you're awake.
Yeah. Rather than just, you know, hitting dismiss and going back to sleep.
Well, I love the fact that my computer knows me so well, the page will not load. Google Chrome keeps saying to kill the page because it will not finish loading this page. And it's probably because somebody realized this is Microsoft and that you're trying to figure out a way to insert malicious JavaScript through comments to infect people who actually look at this friggin' thing. Oh, man. See, everyone watching the video, I get the pop-up. The following page has become unresponsive. You can wait for it to become unresponsive responsive or kill it.
Kill.
Try that link, because that's the link to search for it. That should take you right.
I don't know if I... See if I could do it anonymously, maybe, but I'm too lazy.
So I'm a morning person. When the alarm goes off, I'm awake. You know, I don't really struggle with that. But if my wife did this and it said, make a surprised face, her surprised face would be angry. And if it said, make a happy face, her happy face would be angry. She only has one face in the morning, and it's angry.
It must be a wife thing, because I don't need an alarm clock at all. I get up early, and there's no problems. Yeah, but I'm going to try it.
Me too. No, I'm not, actually. I'm just pretty convinced and sure anything first thing in the morning that told me to make a face, the face wouldn't be a face. The face would be a fist coming right at you.
Or a finger.
Or a finger, something. or actually me just, I'm too lazy. I just cover my head up with the covers. And I would throw the phone, I would instantaneously, like a bat, like a hawk, do echo location around me and figure out where's the farthest place this phone can reach, and bam, with a pinpoint Nolan Ryan type accuracy, I would hit that spot because I would throw the phone as hard as I could.
Nope.
Okay. It isn't really, it still isn't really completely loading. Maybe it's me, maybe it's my network, maybe it's something, but maybe it's fate. Maybe it's just me channeling my hatred through my processor to not load this.
Well, while you work that out, I'll read our next email from Joe Licata. He says, this app is a game that integrates with your smartwatch. It's basically a story about a guy stranded on a moon after his ship crash landed. He's searching for help when you happen to pick up his transmissions. What's so neat and new about this app, other than using your watch, which isn't required, is that it's in real time. Each transmission is sent as a notification pop-up on your phone as it happens. You choose what happens, and you can answer the question at your own pace. The story is short, but about two real days, but deserves 4 out of 5 stars for style and originality. This developer has also made 2 more stories, each its own app. Enjoy.
Yeah, my page is still...
And the name of the game is... loading?
Lifeline
by 3-Minute Games, LLC.
Yeah, this is not a new app for us, at least. Yeah, I did bring this back on 373. And I love the fact that it was real time. My kid found that to be very fascinating. He said, it feels like I'm communicating with a guy, with a real guy. So he loved that. I do like the fact that they're actually doing, now supporting Wear devices to interact with it as well. That's a good addition to the game, I'll say.
99 cents. I don't think we said that. And rated E for everyone.
Yeah, there was a new game, Space Stars. Have you been asked to test out Space Stars and Clouds? No, wait, I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. That's the doctor's one I brought. There's a space one that I tested for a guy recently, and it's really neat, but it's early, and we're just testing it, but it's kind of along those lines. It's pretty cool.
Was his name Major Tom, by chance, I was wondering?
No. It was
good, because that might be something. A little creepy.
The whoosh you sound is heard is the sound of that joke going right over your head.
Yeah. No, I got it. I got the joke.
Yeah, I mean, this guy knows Rocky ASAESP.
ASESP. No, I really like that David Bowie song.
Excuse me. If you don't like that song, I believe you don't like music. I have no problem saying that. That's just a good song. It's just a plain, flat out good song.
Yeah. There was a nice post that went around after who's the guy from the Eagles that also passed away last week?
Buddy Holly?
Hmm? Don Henley?
Buddy Holly?
Was it Don Henley?
I don't know. Roy Orbison?
Anyway, somebody posted that that Keith Richards was found in a San Francisco hotel, still not dead.
Yeah, I saw a picture of Keith Richards reading like a newspaper. Laughing, cackling, and it said, "Hey, look, Mick, another one died."
A friend of mine says that he's pickled, so he probably will survive much longer than most.
So, just a quick aside, my favorite version of the Space Oddity, the Major Tom to Ground Control song, is by Saigon Kick. Check it out; I'm sure it's on YouTube.
I'm sure it is. Wow, that's a name I haven't heard for a while.
What isn't on YouTube?
All right, Dor, bring as many as you would like. Empty as much of your tank as you think we can handle.
Okay. Well, the one I'm going to bring is not really an app. This is the first one I'm bringing. This to me is, it was Glenn Fry. Thank you, Foolish Brian Brantley in the chat, who is a awesome fellow. Thank you very much. Yeah, Glenn Fry, Smuggler's Blues. Come on, Miami Vice. Just a good song.
It's the nature of the business.
It is. This is more of a tutorial than an app, but this is extremely educational and useful. I encourage everyone to do it once. Backstory. Brent, I believe his name is, if I get his name wrong, I'm really sorry. In the Podnuts group, just started his computer repair shop. He's winding up. He has a corner where he's building his shop up. And he said, I have this old Android tablet I would like to have on the wall and just have it show me notifications to where I can just see the time, see tasks, see emails, see notifications that are all coming up on my, account. And I stopped and thought, I've never once seen a home screen widget that just displays notifications. And then, unfortunately, the nature of that search returns garbage. You will never find what you're looking for with certain things in Google, because desktop widget notification or home screen widget notification or home screen notification, you'll never find a way to put notifications on your home screen. You always find everything around it. After literally 20 plus minutes of pounding through Google and literally going not only to page 2, but going to page 3 in my Google search results. Okay.
There's a page 3?
Trust me. I found this article on androidauthority.com, how to create a custom actionable notifications on your home screen Android customization. This is where it's a very simple thing that involves if this, then that, Tasker, Push Bullet, and Super Pro. Super Pro is one of those customizable widget creation tools you can get on your phone. There's more than a couple of them. This is just one of them. And this basically shows you step by step by step by step.
Nice.
How to make a custom widget on your home screen that displays only the exact notifications that you want. So unfortunately, it requires a little bit of work and a little bit of money and a little bit of concentration, because you can't be ADHD like me and get diverted by everything. And then you will have, when you're done, a very customized home screen showing you everything that you want that you can take actions upon to and click. And then when you're done, you'll also have the understanding of then how to go back and customize that widget. So this to me was awesome. Perfect timing. This is my example of what Podnuts is here for, okay? Podnuts is not just normal people talking to normal people. Podnuts thrives on interaction with the community. Without him asking me that question, without him asking the greater community that question, I would have never found this. And what I found, I think, is really cool. So I want to thank him for having faith in the Podnuts people. And I just happened to stumble across and find this, and I think it's freaking awesome.
Yeah, I couldn't think of a use case for personally for this, but I own all those programs that I've paid for them. So if I have an extra tablet at some point, I could.
Well, yeah. This might be the perfect case to go get a $20 cheap tablet and like have it right there on the wall when you walk in the house to just show you. Because then what you can do is you can have family calendars, family email addresses kind of things, and tell the family whenever you want something, send it to this account or do this with it on your device, and it will get sent to this home, quote unquote, bulletin board.
That's neat too. Yeah. A family Facebook page, so then I could be with everybody else.
I don't know about Facebook, but okay. Okay, I'm going to bring at least one more here. This one I had to bring just because of the name of the app alone. Just made me want to check it out. And foolish frankly, why would you need notifications on your home screen? So you don't have to pull down your notification to see your home screen. He just wants to sit on his desk computer and be able to just look to the side and see all of his pending notifications. And typically when you pull down your home screen shade, the notifications will either turn off your screen or go away.
Well, the Android Marshmallow lock screen does that too.
Yeah, but you only see a very limited subset, and there's no true customization to what is hitting that lock screen. And then you have to physically hit the button to turn the lock screen on, the screen on. Well, he just wanted like a photo frame, like kind of thing.
This next app's no good.
Why is that?
It's got a video.
Oh, it has a video? Okay.
Can't be any good if it's got a video.
It can't be any good. This is by Bandai Namco, and everybody with a gray beard should know that name.
Indeed.
Because they are the originals, I'll just say that. This is called Ridge Racer Slipstream. It is exactly what you think or you thought or you guess what this could be. This is like extreme racing in cities mainly, but there was some, I don't want to say dirt track, but off the beaten path kind of racing that I did see in mine. This does have crazy upgrade kind of things, and that's where most racers really just get me mad to the point where I don't play them, because there's too much to upgrade. But I got at least 5 or 6 races in without having to worry about what am I going to upgrade first kind of thing. I had fun with this. I will say that. And to me, that's the real goal of racing games. Isn't extreme accuracy, isn't extremely perfect looking graphics. It's just to be fun.
Oh, the first person view is crazy, where you're not sitting behind the car, but you're just moving.
Yeah, I could not do this. It basically looks like you drank all the caffeine in the Western Hemisphere and you're like running because you can't see anything except for what's in front of you.
You need that on your Gear VR, whatever.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't know. That might cause me like sick. Like, I don't know. That's just, okay.
Hit door.
Yes, sir.
Gamepad compatible as compared to that other crap app we had earlier?
Yes, because if you watch the video and the screenshots, I believe, showed as well, there are physical control buttons you can have on the bottom of your screen. You just map your buttons to that.
Okay.
That's what I did.
I don't know if I can do that with my
You can. Button. You just need a different app. You need a separate app to map your buttons. I can give you that. But we brought an app to the show. I think, Eric, you might have brought it. Chromer a couple weeks ago. It was first on All About Android. They brought it. And what it is it's a minimalistic window into Chrome that is always running Resident. So it's a faster, quote-unquote, browser experience. Here's another one. This one's called Anticipate, and I forgot to put the link in the chat because that would be really smart to do, and I completely forgot. This one is called Anticipate by Plus Cubed. Same exact principle, but it looks like it might be able to do just a little bit more. Like, I believe this has extra configurations to the application itself, so you can say, I don't even care about animations. I don't care how the window appears, just appear. Mm. This was like the old governors in cars. Back in the day, there was a certain amount of animation put on top of Android to basically slow everything down to give the processor and stuff time to load things. So if your phone's really fast enough, you can basically turn off all the animation, and technically speaking, your apps will load a blink of an eye faster, kind of thing. I just, find these kinds of enhancements, because Chrome on Android is one of the biggest pain and sufferings I think people have running an Android device, and that's because sometimes Chrome just gets unbelievably slow.
Yeah.
True. That's a thing. You know, we went to the design paradigm, went to no more drop shadows, no more rounded corners, everything's flat. But then we added animations to everything to just make sure that we couldn't actually use our processors for doing anything else.
Right.
I know it's not Android, but the Windows, Microsoft Office 2010, every keystroke, like in an Excel spreadsheet, is an animation. And it doesn't make anything slower. It just feels slower as you're watching it.
Right. Yeah, because you mentally know you have to wait for this animation to finish before it's finished.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm going to throw one more out there, and it's really, I don't know. I don't even know why I am, okay? But I am. This is by, again, Bandai Namco, all those who are creators that are good. And it's Soul Calibur. And when I say Soul Calibur, I mean this is Soul Calibur.
Oh, and unfortunately, best game on the Dreamcast ever.
And unfortunately, it's $14. So everything I look at tells me this is really, if not like a one-for-one port, it is unbelievably close to being a one-for-one port straight from Dreamcast, which that alone should make a certain percentage of our listeners want to check it out.
Well, considering I paid like $65 for it the first time, not $13.99 is a bonus.
Right.
I mean, it's a bargain.
And I will say, to me, that is the real logic in this. It isn't that it's $15. That's what people are going to look at. It's that it isn't $60.
Right. I'm so still mad all these years later about the Dreamcast. It was the best game console of the day, and nobody wanted to make games for it.
You should be furious, because they had everything right. They had the little screen on your game pad that allowed you to do certain things like pick plays without people seeing. It had the first online gaming, and it had, to me, in some respects, the best online football I've ever played, period.
NFL 2K1, absolutely.
Yeah, just so good. So good. And then the Sega Saturn came out, too soon and the company imploded. Now, supposedly, I keep hearing rumors of Dreamcast 2.
Hmm.
What I think it is, I think it's going to end up being almost like a Steam machine.
I was at GameStop earlier tonight, and they had a Steam machine there. I asked the guy, I'm like, hey, how many people are asking about that? Oh, nobody. $450 plus.
Yeah.
And then it came with a controller, and it was i3, I think, maybe. He's like, yeah, not a lot of action. I'm like, well, let me know when that gets down to the game stick price that I bought from here.
Well, no. The logic is, Eric, and this is the hardest thing to sell a gamer on. You either pay less upfront for the console because Sony and Microsoft for decades, and I mean that plurally, have been fine with taking hits on the console because they make so much off of the licensing of games, which is one of the reasons why games can cost anywhere from 50, 60 to $80 a pop. You get a Steam machine? No. You might occasionally pay $30 to $40 a game, but if you even have a smidge of patience, Steam summer sale, Steam winter sale, and you'll get games for $6, $7.
Humble bundles.
So, right. And the bundles, Star bundles, Humble bundles, kind of things.
Could you?
So you either pay up front or you pay over the long haul.
Could you tell somebody an advantage over building your own computer or buying a computer?
What you get is the convenience factor, and it's a quote unquote more specialized hardware. If you do build your own computer, you'll probably save money. You'll probably, and when I say probably, you're going to save money. And you'll probably get something that would be better for longer. But you miss out on the quote-unquote convenience and the beauty factor, if you will.
I mean, I like Steam. I don't find myself using it much, but I'm not much of a gamer, though, either. I wish I was more of a gamer just to support Steam. But I don't know. I got Portal on there.
You need two things to be a gamer. You need a pile of cash and a pile of time.
Yeah.
And, once you hit 40 and have a couple of kids, you don't have either of those anymore.
Correct. Yes.
And if you do, you're doing something wrong.
Yes. Good point, Dor. Yeah, in case anybody was like, well, I'm there. Sorry. No, no offense, sir, but.
Right. Well, and here's the gimmick. I was literally just the other day contemplating taking one of these desktop computers, pushing them upstairs, giving it to my oldest son, getting a new box down here. And I'm thinking, hey, all I got to do is get like a video card for him, right? How much is that? So I accidentally, unfortunately, mistakenly said, let me go to PCPer.com. That's Ryan Shrout, This Week in Computer Hardware. He's really smart. Let me go to their little section up here called Hardware Leaderboard. If you go to the Hardware Leaderboard, that's where they constantly review and evaluate hardware. So, oh, that's great. Okay. Hardware leaderboard. Then I go down to the very bottom and they have four types of computers. All I read is low end, mid range, high end, and Dream System. Dream System. Okay. Dream System. Let me go here. Let me take a look at their video card. Their video card is an Asus GeForce GTX 980 Ti STRIX Strix. $650.
For the motherboard?
For the video card.
For the video card.
Mm-hmm.
So all I say is, well, I guess my son's not getting a Steam machine.
Well, some things haven't changed, and you don't need that video card. There's always going to be a $650 video card. Nobody, or 10 people buy it.
I know, but Ryan said it's a good card.
Well, of course, yeah. It's a good card. It's $650.
Yeah, but
but you know, we had Ryan on Podnuts before, and he's a really honest guy. He wouldn't lie to us.
The one that is in the low system, he said was a really nice card 6 months ago.
Maybe. And then if you take a step down in their next build, EVGA GeForce GTX 970 FTW Plus, that's be good, right? ACX 2.0, $360. And I say to myself, self, I love my kids. I don't think he's getting a $400 video card.
No.
So then I go down to the third one, which is the mid-range system leaderboard, where the whole computer is $855. Ah, 230. Man, this guy Ryan's hard. He plays hard, man. So my son's not getting a Steam machine. Yeah.
All right. Well, sorry, Junior. Sorry, it's not going to work out for you.
Well, thankfully, he's not going to really know because he doesn't have one already. So he's not missing anything.
But for $360, you can go buy an Xbox One.
I could also stick a fork in my eye.
You know, being a 40-year-old guy with kids, I get excited when there's a new, video gaming system coming into the house. I'm like, oh man, I might play this. I always get pumped up and, oh, there's a new game. Oh yeah, that, I'd like to check that out. And I do, I check it out and that's it. I check it out for a minute. We've had some decent games, my son and I, of Madden 2016. That's been a fun game. Now, hey, Dort.
Yeah, see, Madden has went so downhill. I'm sorry.
That's fun.
I do not see my, hey, A, there's nothing in this household that has ever paid a Microsoft tax. Okay. Let me say that nothing in this house has ever been bought and a single penny has went to pay a Microsoft tax. I'm not going to start now. I don't care how successful the Xbox is because it's an Xbox. I'm never getting an Xbox. And I told my son, if he gets an Xbox, he's going to have to be old enough to move out. It's not coming in the house. There's also not an Apple product coming in this house. We have to vote with our dollars. Some people are more firm than ever. I am. I could see getting a Sony PS4, but I cannot see spending $60 to $80 for a single game because the games of the like of Ocarina of Time are not being made anymore. Sorry. That's you know, they have 9/11 truthers. I'm a gamer truther. There is no more Ocarina of Time being made. You're fooling yourselves. The government's behind it.
Yeah, the Xbox is the not cool thing anymore anyway. Everybody's PS4 now.
Hey, but listen, that's like fins and no fins. It's just a fad. In 6 months, it'll be something else. You know, we're back again.
So, little tidbit. Oh, we are really off the Android rails on this one. Yeah, we got an Xbox One Day One edition, you know, of course. And it's not loading CDs or DVDs correctly now. It's just, you know, it's a slot load machine that sounds like a lawnmower. My son says it sounds like a lawnmower when it loads your discs. Hey, but I just wanted to go back to your Steambox thing and low end leaderboard, Gigabyte Ultra Durable Series 2 R7 250, $72. That's the video card there.
Oh, well, see, that might be too low. I did see Patrick Norton build on a piece of wood because the guy said he wanted to hang his computer on the wall. So Patrick said, fine, we'll get a piece of wood. We'll get this motherboard. Bang, 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 bang. Hung it on the wall. It was literally like a sub-$400 computer. It might have been sub-$400. And he was playing Titanfall at 60 frames a second.
Nice.
And I said to myself, self, if you can do that with a sub-whatever $100 computer, why on God's green earth would you need a $600 video card? And I don't know. I don't know. God, I don't know. I don't need 50,000 frames a second. Neither does my son. The brain waves don't move that fast.
Yeah, but what do you... You got to power that 8K monitor with something, Dor.
No.
I guess you're...
That was easy.
You're just going to get...
All right, I feel that this conversation has gone way off the rails. We were talking about the game earlier being on rails. This conversation is off the rails. So I'm going to curtail it and say, I think that's enough show for now. No more show for you.
Oh, come back next week. The chat room's even getting on Dor's case, man.
They can.
HurricaneRockComputers.net. All right. Yeah.
There you go. All right. I wonder if you could play Xbox games in Wine.
You can emulate them. Yeah. Xbox One. Or not Xbox. Sorry. The first Xbox.
Well, soon. I mean, Xbox One has a version of Windows 10 on it, they say, so they'd be able to.
Dor, other than game stuff, what would you like to say to your audience for the last thoughts of the show?
Don't hesitate to email me and harass me with anything. It is, whether you think the name is wrong in the RSS feed, whether you think a show title is incorrect, whether you think an email form is incorrect, whether you think there should be something on podnos.com and it's not.
Whether you think Dor should buy an Xbox?
No, you can keep that to yourself. But anything like that, just let me know because I am not perfect. I did not launch the site perfectly. There's always things that need to be done. And you guys help make me the priority. And I'll just end it off with the other thing that nothing from today has on video games. It's very easy. Up, up, down, down, left, right, left, right. That's all I got to say.
EA Select Start.
Mm-hmm. They just don't have that anymore. Now it's all, ooh, you got to spend more money for extra content.
Yeah.
IGTQFD, what was it? I can't even remember the Doom cheat codes, but yeah, those were the things too. IGKFA, something. Yeah, keys full ammo. That was it. And IGGQD for God mode. That's the only way I ever played Doom was turn on God mode, because I don't want to do a maze. I just want to shoot stuff. So I turn that on and walk through walls, and then I just go shoot stuff. All right, Eric, any other last words of wisdom for you, from you, for you, about you?
Thanks for listening. I would say if you guys go into the Google Plus, we do have Android App Addicts community here, lots of Podnuts communities. Check those out and peruse through them, and you'll hear all kinds of cool apps and stuff in there too that we don't get to bring to the show.
Oh, and if you really like hearing Eric talk about stuff like ESP Rocky or whatever the band name is, you should check out the Mini PC Show.
ESP Rocky. That's the show title.
Right. All right. And I will implore you to go to elementopi.com and listen to the Geek Rant podcast, and tell everybody that you know to do it as well. Also, go to patreon.com/AndroidAppAddicts and throw money at door. These would both be things that need to happen. Other than that, come back next week, because that wraps up this episode of Android App Addicts.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.